Hello, and welcome to the meeting. Please enter your passcode followed by the pound or hash key, and I'll connect you. Please hold while I confirm your passcode. Thank you for joining Global Meet. Please wait for the tone. Then say your name and press the pound or hash key.
Amy Chu.
When you hear the tone, you will be the second person to join the meeting.
Hello, this is
Hello.
David.
Hi,
Hi,
David.
how
It's
is it today?
Amy. How are you?
I'm good, you?
Doing well, thanks. So I was able to dial in. I'm not able to log into the Global Meet, the visual part of it. It's prompting me for a passcode, and I provided the same passcode that I entered for the phone call. Is there a different passcode I should be entering?
Put in, just try guest.
Hi there, my name's Grant, and
Okay, just
I'm
type in guest.
I was given a call
Mm-hmm.
because my boss is
We're
supposed to
probably
return
not really going to
UniFi.
use that
We
because
are
I forgot that we
unified
wanted to
schedule
talk about
eliminations
the
or
API, how we would deliver because of the volume of reports. This is for somebody. What I was going to show you is how I pull reports. And did that get you in?
It didn't. So it says, "Welcome to David's meeting. If you're a new or existing guest, sign into your meeting." So I put my first and last name, and then where it's asking for the passcode, I type in guest. And then if I hit join meeting, it's not letting me
You
proceed. It
should.
just says.
Oh, crap. Global Meet. Hold on.
No problem.
Put in, yeah, did you put in the 673-00423
I
or
tried that.
637?
I tried that initially. I can try that again
Yeah,
right now.
okay.
Any
Over
spaces between the members or just all in one
No, no
sequence?
spaces at all. Yeah.
We do equipment leasing in our, and we are an independent sales organization. I was just giving you
All right,
advice.
so it says error processing, invalid
Accept
credentials.
business from an independent sales organization.
Okay.
I'd love to find out
That
if
means
you'd
it's
like
not going
to
to cooperate
create
with us.
a company.
That's all right.
My apologies. My
It's okay.
apologies.
It's all right.
Who else had just joined? Was that Bob? Was that you? Or was that
Hey, David. Yes.
Oh, hey, Bob. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I have Amy Chu from Cardiff Commercial Bank and Finance on the phone with us. And
Hi,
is
Amy.
William going to join us,
Hello.
Amy?
I had sent the meeting invite to him. He's
And
in
he's
a.
happy, so that's why.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I can reach him through our messaging system. He is in a.
Yeah.
Looks like a meeting right now with closed doors, so let me see if
Okay.
he'll.
Well, that's fine. You're my primary contact, but I just know he had some questions
Okay.
about our API capabilities.
Okay, give me one second.
Sure.
If it's Desiree, I could really use somebody else. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm trying to keep things really busy, and I'm wondering about the day bills to get the ownership cleared up. So is there any way I can find out if it's actually being affected by education, or if someone else can help us through? We need to get some rows of files today because yesterday we forgot to get over.
Okay, it looks like William's in a meeting right now that he won't be able to join us for
Okay.
the time being. So I'll just go ahead and take notes on this, and then we can discuss with him
Okay.
after.
Okay, and we can always loop back with all of us if we needed to over the next couple of days and
Okay,
everything.
sounds good.
Now,
So
are
this.
you currently using and go ahead, Amy, I'm sorry.
My question was just that this meeting was primarily about the credit pulls. Is that correct? Not so much about the triggers? Or is it both?
Oh, I forgot about the triggers.
Okay. That's okay. That's something that I don't want to fall off your radar.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah. I forgot that we had also had a conversation about that. Absolutely. Well, now, do you have any questions about BAM?
About what?
About business activity monitor. Do you have any questions specifically about that?
I just know that we were trying to see if there was a capability to do the activity monitoring on the consumer side. So basically with a subset of social security numbers as opposed to legal business name and tax ID.
Okay. All right. That's right. And I was supposed to have invited somebody from our CMS group to be on this call, and I just failed to, bottom line. But we have a program through the consumer side of the house. It's called Target Point Triggers.
Okay.
And I will send you some information on it, but I'll tell you a little bit about it.
What sure.
It does is every day it looks at credit inquiry activity on consumers, on a portfolio of consumers, and on maybe a list that you've built.
Mm-hmm.
And gives you notification on, you can set up on a daily or weekly or monthly basis for notifications of things that are going on, so you can be aware of course, your customers and somebody else coming in and doing an inquiry on them, so that it gives you a heads up to go defend your territory. And then also you can also build up a list where you could have possible new customers based on the geography. That you, or some other, or maybe industry codes or something like that, that allows you to monitor when people are inquiring on that. And I'm sorry, I did not, because I had my notes said API and next to William's name and cell phone number, and so I just didn't get that person on the phone. We can, yeah, but I don't think we need to at this point. I need to get you the information about how it works and the pricing before we move forward on that.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, on the credit report that I pulled you last week on, I forget, was it Nurse State or something like that?
Yeah, Nurse State.
Yeah. Did we need to go through that? Let me ask you a question. Before we go there, in the interest of Bob's time, I was just wondering, did you have any questions about the API and how we would deliver reports to Cardiff?
That's certainly, I'm not too familiar with the systems aspect of of our capabilities and stuff, but I guess that would be information I can relay to William. In order to set up an API for credit monitoring, what is it that you guys need?
We would need a file of your customer names and everything, but that setup is separate from an API for pulling credit reports.
Oh, okay.
That's correct, David.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Amy, do you want to take some bullet points down and pass those over to William and.
Sure.
Or do you want to wait till William just wait till he's on a call? I mean, I can be available just about any time.
Yeah.
I'll take a couple bullet points down for the time being, and then if we need to talk again later, we can do that.
Okay. The first thing would be connectivity.
Okay. And is there any way to get like a, I guess just like a summary of this discussion as well, or, you know, some kind of bullet points? Because the visual part of the meeting is not working. I'm not sure if there are any slides that were prepared or anything that I can show him other than my notes.
I don't have a PowerPoint presentation on the API.
Okay.
I know that we can send information about it and how it works. That's
okay.
Probably really what William was wanting to get an understanding.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he
Bob,
just...
if you'll send.
Yeah, he just sent me a message. It says, again, we're interested in the following: API access to the credit bureau and business credit report and consumer credit triggers on our portfolio. So those are the topics.
Okay. So Bob, do we have some information we can send to Amy so she can pass along to William about the API and how it works and how it's set up? Correct? Bob, are you still on?
I really hate Desiree at night. I want to find out who her boss is and want to talk to her
too. Bob. Amy, you're still here. I didn't drop it.
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
That was weird. I got three beeps on my phone, and then all of a sudden I was gone.
Yeah, we were wondering what happened to you. I was thinking to myself, I hope you didn't pass out on it.
Okay.
All right. Amy got a message from William about he wants to know about the API. She was asking if we had a PowerPoint presentation or something that we could share with her. I think we just need to send her the API information for how it's set up. Is that something that we have we can share with her and then follow up with the discussion?
Yeah, well, you know, those directions on downloading them from the TCS website, I can send those to Amy and William, and
sure.
they can look at the documentation. If William has any questions, he can just give me a call or send me an email.
Okay.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Do you need our contact information or email addresses?
I think I have it off the meeting invitation.
Yeah,
okay.
That would be ACHEW@bank. Yeah, I've got it here.
Okay.
I'll do that. And you know, feel free to get in touch with me or arrange another conference call through David, and we can talk about whatever questions you have.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, right. Amy, I think from that standpoint, there's really, I don't know that we need to go through. And Bob, do you think it's still key to maybe give her some high-level bullet points?
Well, you know, maybe for the stuff that you know, there's like 500 pages worth of documentation, Amy. So maybe it would be a good idea for me to give you the executive overview.
Sounds good. The cliff notes,
okay, so
to say.
Yeah. So connectivity would be the first bullet point.
Okay.
And connectivity is the acronym HTTPS.
Mm-hmm.
So that's connectivity. He would want to know that.
Okay.
The next bullet point would be file format.
Okay.
And that is XML.
Okay.
M as in Mary, L as in Larry.
Got it.
Let's see. Beyond that, wow, never condensed this into bullet points before. So talk about connectivity, file format. The turnaround time for a transaction. So in other words, you send us an inquiry,
mm-hmm.
and we send you an XML response, and that response contains a credit report and any other products, you know, like scores. It all comes back in a single response.
Okay.
So that would be another bullet point: a single inquiry. Single response with credit report and scores. And the elapsed time for that is usually about 1 second. So it's instantaneous.
Okay.
David can talk to you about products he probably already has, the types of reports and scores that we have. They're all available, you know, through the API.
Mm-hmm.
That's for triggers. and there are no costs. That's probably important for you to know.
Right.
We don't charge anything. You know, it's all the work is on your side, really.
Okay.
It usually takes anywhere from a month to 3 months, just depending on, you know, how much, if you really devote a lot of resource, not a lot, but several resources to the project and want to get it done in a hurry, you can code to our API and be up and running in about a month. Or it could take as long as 3 or 4 months, just depending on, you know, what your software development life cycle looks like. And some customers like to spend a lot of time testing, and that usually takes the most time. The coding part isn't very difficult at all.
I see.
And then I guess the final point is I'll provide you with the. With the instructions that you need to download our documentation, and it'll all be have commercial XML in the title. There are probably 3 or 4 documents. But if you decide to go ahead with coding to the API, I have a team that will work that's available to you every business day, whenever you need us. So you can send questions, email, or give us a call. We could set up conference calls, whatever works, you know, for your development team.
Okay.
And we'll also provide you with you'll have a test environment that your development team will use to do their coding and their testing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll provide you with test files for doing that. And then once you're satisfied and we can help you troubleshoot and verify that everything's working right, once you decide, you know, when you're ready to move into production, then that's a very quick change on your end. And you can be in production the next day once you make that decision. So that's pretty much the 40,000-foot view of the system-to-system or the API discussion.
Like for an example, like with our internal system, you're just saying that it has to have like HTTPS as like the, it just has to read that in like the web browser, for example, as connectivity to your guys' system?
Yeah, that's a connectivity protocol. So you just have to have software that can send a message over the internet using HTTPS.
Okay.
Your technical people will know what that's all
sure.
about. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's available. Yeah.
Okay.
This is not a browser based thing. Our ePort system is, but this is strictly, you know, your system making a call to our system and then our system sending data to your system. So that's what the API is all about.
Okay.
All right.
And I just had a quick question. So you said the turnaround time for inquiry, so it's just a matter of like us pressing a button like submit, for example, and then we would receive an automated response with the credit score, the credit report. Is it going to be like formatted in the same way as those example credit reports that David had shown me? I'm just trying to get a feel for what it looks like.
Yeah. It's an XML file.
Okay.
And that's common. That's the most commonly used file format over the internet.
Okay.
So you'll send us an XML file as the inquiry, and that'll have like the business name and address. And some other stuff in it, and then when we get that inquiry, and it, you know, it takes less than a second, we get it, and we parse it and determine which credit report you want and which scores, if any, and then we put all that data into an XML message to send back to you. So you send us XML, we send XML back to you. but it's not formatted. You can read, the human eye can read XML very easily,
right.
But it's not formatted like that example, like that sample that you see with the colors and the, that's a PDF.
Okay, but the content would be the same?
Content would be the same.
Okay.
Exactly. And then your team would decide exactly how much of that content they want to display on a user's screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could display everything, or they could just display certain pieces of data. That's totally up to you.
Okay. So with that being said, that's going to be some coding effort on our part to just, you know, select what kind of data is pertinent for our inquiry.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
The coding, there'll be a lot of coding on the data. You'll also want to put the data into your own database, so somebody will have to design a database, and then your people, your programmers will code so that when we send you that XML message, you receive it, and not only do you display it on the screen, but you also deposit it into a database so that you can get to it later.
Okay. Gotcha. And is it possible to submit, like, for the same customer, for example, a personal credit pull and a business credit pull simultaneously, or would that be two separate actions on our part?
Yeah, great question. It can actually be both. It just depends on your needs, and this may be getting too technical, but if you want a consumer credit report, in other words, a
mm-hmm.
business principal report, or consumer credit report, and you want to actually pull out pieces of data like the FICO score or whatever and
uh-huh.
store it, then you will need to code to a separate API, and it probably takes about the same amount of effort. It's the same process.
Okay.
But if all you need to do is view the report on a
mm-hmm.
on a monitor, computer monitor,
mm-hmm.
you can get it through the same API as the commercial data. But again, it's not something that you can store in a database like the rest of the commercial data. It's only something that can be displayed on a computer screen.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Yeah.
That makes sense. So basically you're saying, like, the results would just show up on the screen, but there's no way to, like, print or export that information. It would just be visible for that
yep.
one transaction
pretty,
or something?
Yeah, pretty much. It's called a print image format.
Okay.
And it's really designed, for either just printing out or for displaying. What you would call it, printing it to a screen, the old
okay.
technology, but yeah. Whereas if you code for the consumer credit report, for the consumer platform, it's still a commercial credit report, a BPR, but you are using a separate API.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like there would be efforts needed to code for like a business credit report and a consumer report. They're different, correct?
Well,
no.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. The business credit report is, you know, just contains some commercial information. The consumer credit report is consumer data. But if you use it for commercial purposes, then we call it a business principal report.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so for any of the content in the business principal report, that's where you were saying that we would need to have a database created to store the information?
Yeah, that's what all of our customers do. I mean,
okay.
If you're going to go through the trouble of coding to our APIs, then you certainly don't want to throw away the data. You'll want to save it. And you also need to save it for compliance reasons. So everybody, yeah, that's a standard. Creating the database is a standard part of the development process for you and our customers. Yeah, all of our customers.
Gotcha. Okay. So would you say that how many percent of maybe like your current users have an API built for these credit reports?
Because
there is like a manual way to do this as well, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a manual way. That's what I was going to show you with the ePort deck.
Okay.
But Global Meet didn't want to cooperate with me.
No worries. I was just kind of wondering what that ease was of doing a manual pull. Of course, the API would be more convenient. Was just curious what the use was.
Yeah, it usually depends on the volume, you know, what you expect your volume of transactions to be.
Okay.
And I don't know that there's really a cutoff point, but you know, but once you look at our documentation, you'll be able to do an estimate of the effort, and if that estimate is, you know, is a lot more than the volume will justify, then you'll probably do the manual pulls. But if you find that you can save a lot of time by going through the API and doing it that way, then then that's just the route that you'll choose.
Yeah.
So.
Now,
gotcha.
Amy, in my personal book of business, I think I have like 215 customers.
Mm-hmm.
About 45 to 50 are using API. For example, on the leasing, who referred William to us,
right,
use the API.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And they pull about 60,000 reports a year.
Okay. That makes sense.
William had said, Wayne had told him he was doing that many.
Okay. 60,000.
Yeah. You know, but all of our customers, like, you know, like the big banks and things like that, they all use this mode.
Okay. Yeah.
Thousands a day, usually.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that we're really trying to move to a more automated process, so that's why William's having me look into the API solution for this. Okay, should a follow-up with this conversation. Bob, you would be able to send me, I guess, a little bit more of the metrics or the instructions on just for setting up the API, what's required on our end, and I assume it's just more detail. You said it was a couple thousand pages?
Well, it's not quite that much.
Okay.
But there are probably three main manuals. A couple of them, one of them is like 500 pages. The other one's a couple hundred. But
okay.
But you can, you certainly don't have to read every page, and you'll be able to look at the table of contents and know which, you know, just browse through them, and then the best thing would be for us to get together again, and kind of have it. Another discovery call. I mean, that's pretty much what this was, but we can go into greater detail in a subsequent call.
Sure.
Yeah.
Discovery call. Okay. Yeah, let me go ahead and
focus solely on the API.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to present this information to William and just, you know, get his feedback, and we can certainly set up a discovery call for future so we can, you know, kind of iron out the details of moving forward.
Sounds good.
Any other questions about the API?
Last question was just that you mentioned up front that there were no costs. So there's basically no cost as far as subscribing to the API or setting this up on our end. I mean, there has to be a cost, right,
per transaction. Yeah, that's what you worked out.
Amy.
Yeah.
For the data, there is a cost. And I'm working on pricing that based on what William told me the other day. And we'll talk about that more in a few minutes.
Okay.
But, yes, there is cost for the data. And it's, you know, based on the number of reports that you pull.
Okay.
Volume tiers make a difference.
All right, understood.
Yeah.
And so we'll have a discussion about that a little bit down the line.
We can talk about that here momentarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Because I know William said he was anxious to get that.
Okay. I also just saw your email about the triggers, too, so we can talk about all the pricing and stuff like that shortly. Okay. I don't have any other further questions regarding setting up the API for now. I'll just take a look at the supplemental documentation you send over. And, of course, it's going to be reviewed by somebody who's more technical in our office.
Maybe you should, because if you submit it first, then they can't.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll get you the,
good,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you,
Bob.
Thank you,
Bob. Thank you, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
You're very welcome,
don't,
David.
Thank you, Bob. Don't leave me. Okay. Now we can talk more about the product.
Okay.
All right. Did you have any questions? I mean, I'm sure you compared the data on our report to what you're currently getting. I think you said Experian, is that who you're using there?
That's correct. When I compared the data between Experian and Equifax, it just looks like the content is pretty comparable, with the exception of not having any UCC filing information. Did you say that was something that might be added down the line, or is there going to be a change? It is. What's like a time frame for being able to access that information?
Sometimes in 2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other additions or enhancements that I should be aware of? Might be up and coming.
Not that I'm aware of right now, Amy. Yeah, but we're working on getting the UCC filings. Do they come on the Experian report?
It does. However, we use TLO, which is a TransUnion product, and Experian to kind of look at UCC filing information. What we found is that Experian is a little bit slow at reporting that information, whereas TLO has more real-time data on that. So there could be a difference of a couple weeks to a month where something will show up on the TLO side, but not in Experian. I just think that Experian doesn't update their records as frequently. So that was just our main observation in comparing the two. But we also use TLO for different purposes, not really for credit monitoring, but just more like public record information.
Okay. Now, I don't believe on the report I pulled you, we also pull public records, and we can include that in the report.
Okay. Is there a cost to include that as well?
It's just a few cents.
Okay.
A few cents, yeah. I'll put some pricing together here momentarily. I'm entering it now. Now, how many reports? William said 5,000, 10,000, 25,000. I can send you cost on all of them, on all configurations, but I guess we need to narrow down exactly what you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, as far as the content in the report, would you just want me to list a couple of the subject lines or something that we would be most interested in, or is there a list that I can, choose from?
I can probably send you some additional items that we can add to the report,
okay.
The business delinquency score and the business failure score, which I think was included on the report I sent you.
Yeah, it was, and I found that information to be pretty interesting just because I don't see anything like that with the resources we have currently.
Well, we're able to get that information primarily because we only take third-party reported data.
Mm-hmm.
And, David Emmons' hardware company is not going to call Experian and say, hey, I'm 90 days late paying this bill. You have to take that into consideration. We don't take any self-reported data. And I think that's a key component. And I also think for companies with $20 million or less in revenue, we're unmatched as far as our information. And then you also, some other leasing companies, they pull a business report, but they also pull that business principal report because they're asking for personal guarantors. And I'm sure in the equipment financing business, you're probably doing the same.
Correct? Yes.
Okay.
So we'd be interested in getting approved for that.
Yeah.
All right. So the business principal report, is that kind of run under the same guidelines that there's no self-reported data on here?
Correct.
Okay.
Self-reported data on either our commercial or our consumer. Now, I can't pull a sample of that for you because I do not have the permission.
Understand. You need to have, like, some kind of authorization from customer, correct? Okay.
No, they'll put me in jail.
All right, well, we're not going to, you know, do that to you. So I'm just taking a look at the example BPR sample you sent. So it's BPR sample 612 final. Just kind of reading through the numbers with all the little arrows there and just seeing if there's anything that I am not following.
Okay. Well, see, the key thing, I think, is that right there at the header, at the very front, is the FICO score. At the very top.
Okay. So the beacon score, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the beacon score. I'm sorry. I call it FICO there.
No problem.
In our world.
Sometimes I've noticed that, you know, when we work with some of our other partners that do use Equifax, there is a little bit of a discrepancy between the information and the credit bureaus. What can you attribute
mm-hmm.
that to?
We're taking no self-reported data.
Okay. What if it's like a difference between the beacon score that would also attribute to having no self-reported data as well? Okay. All right.
Well, I retract that. The Beacon 09 score is calculated
mm-hmm.
ever so slightly different than the FICO score.
Okay.
I can check my three, and my Equifax is always 5 to 7 points higher than my Experian, but usually about equal with my TransUnion and everything. So.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain that.
But as far as like the scale for measuring the beacon score, it's like from a 0 to 900 or something.
It's 500. No, it's 350 to 880.
Okay. Okay, so that's the range. If somebody, for example, has no installment credit, what would that number be, for example? Like in Experian, I think it's like a 9,002 if they don't have enough credit available.
The score is calculated based on available credit utilization, promptness of payment, and all those things. So if they have limited credit, the score is probably going to be lower. I mean, if you don't have any debt or any credit cards and you're mortgage free and all that,
yeah,
you go to pull your credit score, it's zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it'll be zero or a low. It would be on the lower range if there's not enough credit available.
Yeah, we'll help.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I think, Amy, one of the key points about this report also may be important to you is the identity scan warning that's included in this. Like in this one, it says the inquiry address is associated with more than one name or social security number. And you've got the address is down here under John Q. Consumer, and since 1982, and gives you, jobs as well as addresses and different, but there's obviously been some different social security numbers associated with this person. So that's a red flag in most cases.
Okay. So basically on number four where it says consumer, that's just listing like the different addresses where this person resided.
Correct.
Okay, understood. At the very end?
This is not on an actual person.
Okay.
This
is just an example. So if it says tape, RPTD, does that mean that it was reported that this individual lived at this residence perhaps
like
July 2000?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct, Amy.
Is there a, I guess this is at the very bottom, I just want to confirm, number 12, lost or stolen card, that's also underneath showing all the other, I guess, businesses or establishments that may have viewed this individual's credit, so perhaps other banks or, you know, working capital or leasing companies in this case that we would consider competitors, we would see that listed there as well.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, back a few months ago. Now, and now we're giving
yes,
you
will.
A second position.
Okay.
You know, like I said, almost all my leasing companies do use this because of the personal guarantor requirement. They use
yeah.
it in combination. They use it in combination with the business report, but some of them just use just this report.
Okay. Yeah, I think.
Right.
I was just going to say, in our case, we would be looking at both. We operate very similar to, you know, how Pawnee operates, for example. So it's definitely going to be a combination of the consumer information as well as the business information.
Okay.
Number 10 says 24-month payment history. View the principal's payment history for 24 months prior to the current status. So I noticed that on this report, number 10 is only pointed at one section that says 24-month history. So the other trade lines that are listed below, does that mean that they haven't been around for 24 months?
Yes.
Okay. So that would only apply if the customer had a trade line open for more than 2 years?
I already have some of the write-ups on
okay.
For example, Sears was opened in August of 2001 and closed in October. I mean, it was opened in October of 1999 and closed less than 2 years later. And so the account closed by credit grantor is also
okay.
Added.
So open date was October 1999, and then where's the close date that you? It just says.
If you go back up just above the dashes above number 10, it says reported and open. And it gives you the limit and the past due amount, the high credit and the term.
Okay.
Claudia's a credibly at 15 though. So.
All right. All right, I don't think I have any other questions on this for now. Why don't we talk about the other email that you sent over regarding the triggers?
Sure. Okay. Let me get that open.
I'm very interested.
All right. Triggers are $250 per day with a 3-day per week minimum. So that means that we would...
$750 a week.
Okay.
Just to maintain, just to get the information, and it's, the cost is 30 cents to include the name and the score.
Thanks, RV rent.
I just wanted to make sure that this trigger information that you sent, this is regarding consumer credit monitoring. Okay, so it's, I can just disregard the pricing that you provided initially, and that was just for the business side, right?
That was for the business activity monitoring.
Maybe it's
been.
Great Lakes Recreation.
Okay. You cannot get the name without the score. So what kind of score are we looking at here?
Their personal credit score.
Okay. I think I'm a little bit confused. I thought the triggers was just strictly looking at like an individual and then just trying to see if there were any inquiries on there.
What it helps you do is it identifies qualified prospects and customers when they're shopping for credit. So an inquiry by one of your competitors, they're a qualified prospect or a customer, and so they're shopping for credit, you're going to get notification that ABC Equipment Finance has been out to to one of your customers.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have been aware that you've got a sales opportunity there, an upsell opportunity, or you may have a customer service issue that it just helps you to stay proactive on managing your portfolio.
Okay. I'm reading the sheet that you sent over for the target point triggers. Approaching final payments on a loan, address change. Alright. So basically we would also have to include the 5 cents for the score then, because we need to see the name.
Correct.
Okay.
Your credit says for good luck. Yes, yesterday. Right. So it'd be 30 cents per rec. With the $250 and a 3-day minimum from, you know, every week of the month.
Okay. You may have gone over this in the beginning, but I forgot. For the triggers for the consumer monitoring, is that basically where we have to give you a file of our customers' information, and then we set up notifications as needed?
Correct.
I forget what the setup is for this process.
Well, it's very similar to the business activity monitor. We would just need, you know, your portfolio, or if you want, I think even, I'll have to confirm it with Courtney or Markham. I think you could even develop a prospect list of, you know, say, take a certain geography or a certain industry and come up with, you know, people that are looking for credit inquiries that have been done, and you may, that may give you some marketing opportunities. And I want to confirm that. With them. This is a consumer product, and I'm just now learning about it.
Okay.
And I've had 7 inquiries about this kind of solution from Equifax from most of my commercial customers.
Yeah. So is this kind of a emerging product then? Is it something that
you guys have developed? Oh no, it's been around for a while. I just haven't been aware. I just did not know until I talked to my specialist what we could do.
Okay.
I didn't really talk to them very much at all, and they're just like, whatever. Here's our contract signed up.
Is this product called Decision 360?
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay.
No,
I saw that at the very bottom. I was wondering if that was part of
Well, it's part of the Decision 360.
That's
it gives you a 360-degree view of the consumer, and what it does is not only does it look at the consumer information, but it looks at wealth data. It looks at spending habits. You know, that's the 360-degree view. This is just one piece of it.
Okay. And we're allowed to just, you know, kind of take this one piece instead of subscribing to the entire, like, the full package, I guess? Okay. All right. Okay. So I'll go ahead and send this information over to William. Were we going to discuss pricing as well for the API?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the reports?
Yeah. If that's something that you would prefer to send me, you know, a little bit later, if you need some time to look into it, that's totally fine.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. What I want to do is because I'm doing it for 5, 10, and 25, and I want to do it, and I'll put it in an email for you.
Okay. So 5, 10, and 25 is basically 5,000, 10,000, 25,000, is that right?
Reports, right. That's what William told me the day he called me.
Okay. And is that going to be for a monthly basis? I was just wondering what the parameters were.
Well, we've got two. I've got more flexibility if we go with the subscription option. I can give you higher discount levels. And basically you decide, yes, we want 10,000 reports. We feel like we'll use them. And you subscribe to that number.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, say you use 9,900, then you've got 100 unused reports that you just, you lose. You don't have access to them the next year. They don't roll over.
Okay.
We also have it where you can do on a pay-go basis, where you pay for only what you pull in a month on a monthly basis, and we just invoice you at the end of the month.
Okay.
Don't have quite the flexibility for discounts.
Understood.
But I'll lay it out.
Okay. Sure. I'm not totally sure how our Experian subscription works currently, but it would be good to just, you know, get a range so that we have some options to choose from.
Okay. right.
Okay.
Sounds good. I will do that. I've got a sales meeting from 2 to 3, but I will work on this one once I get through.
Okay.
And at the latest, you'll have this in the morning when you get to work.
Okay.
At the latest.
All right. No problem.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Moving forward with you.
Bye. Yeah, definitely. All right. Take care. Bye, David.
Bye.